Good evening. It's after I saw my kid, I got out of the way. First of all, I want to thank Dennis, the board members of the FDAF, for this honor of being recognized tonight with the Lifetime Achievement Award. I also want to congratulate my fellow award recipients tonight, Superintendent Beach and Chief Boyce and Zach Benedict. I couldn't have asked to be a part of a more distinguished cohort this year, so congratulations, gentlemen, well deserved. You know, a couple years ago, I came here when I was assigned here, and actually my first introduction into the New York law enforcement community was right here at this club during the FDAAF Awards 2 years ago. And during that award ceremony, Jamie Hunt was the recipient of one of the Lifetime Achievement Awards. And I was looking at that and I'm like thinking, it's like, wow, you know, I would have really loved to have worked with Jamie, but it seems like he's gonna retire. So good news for me, he's still around, so that means I can stay around for a bit more. When you talk about achievement, lifetime achievement, and I was thinking about, okay, what am I going to talk about? I think about blessing, right? And it's not an achievement. It's more of a blessing when I look back in my career and see the amount of people that I've had throughout my whole career. Since that first time that I took the oath to protect and defend the Constitution when I was 18, when I joined the military. To this day, it's always been about the people that surround me, the people that I've had the opportunity to work with, to work for. And when I say work for, I'm talking about the community in a great nation. It's always about the people. I've always had somebody throughout my whole career that was always able to give me a hand, and people, I always had the opportunity and blessing to surround myself people that have the same, that share the same commitment to defend this nation, the same commitment and passion to serve. When I started my career in the Customs Service in Puerto Rico, when I went to Washington, D.C., during the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, which I have to tell you, that was a very challenging time. And then when I returned back as the special agent in charge for San Juan, specifically working during the height of the violence in Puerto Rico a couple years ago. And then, of course, coming to New York, the pinnacle of any law enforcement career, because when it comes to New York, when it comes to the Big Apple, regardless of what we're talking about, business, sports, and law enforcement, this is the place. So to be able to be here and be a part of the law enforcement community, and to be able to be a part of the community in general, it's quite the achievement. And it is the pinnacle of my career. There's nothing else I want to do other than to be the SAC of HSI in New York. But once again, it's the people I've had the opportunity to work with. And when we talk about, you know, New York, and I have to say this, when I was in Puerto Rico a couple of weeks ago, the first people to arrive that I saw there that came to Puerto Rico to assist with the humanitarian efforts, NYPD, New York State Police, and my very own agents from this office, a group of 20 that went there to help us conduct these humanitarian missions. You see, that's the uniqueness of being a part of this law enforcement community here in New York. Regardless where you are around the world, we take care of each other. And the FDAF is a great part of that. They always have our six. I want to close because I would be remiss if I didn't mention the most important people in my life, right, who are not here today. So my two boys, you know, they dropped me off at the airport in San Juan, and they looked at me with a smile and said, "Papi, don't worry, we got this." And they're in Puerto Rico, so they couldn't be here tonight. And then my wife, who's put up with me since high school, it's been a long time. And she's been the backbone and the support of me being able to do what I do for such a long time. And the thing about this, and this is what it really encapsulates when I'm talking about people and the commitment to serve, So my wife is not here today because after we became empty nesters, right? Both of my kids went to college in Puerto Rico. She looked at me and she said, you know what? I've been supporting you all these years, but it's my turn. So she actually took a job with TSA, and today she's at the FLETI, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, going through her TSO academy. So, you know, that epitomizes what I'm talking about, being surrounded by the right people. It's not an achievement, it's a blessing. And tonight is a blessing, we all need a good night. So thank you so much to the FDAF, and thank you to all. Good night.
Cooperation in the back and keeping it down a bit for us. Our next True American Hero Award is Assistant U.S. Attorney Michael Gerber of the Southern District of New York. Assistant U.S. Attorney Gerber has been co-chief of the Violent and Organized Crime Unit since June. Prior to that, he was deputy chief and then co-chief of the Narcotics Unit. As an AUSA in the White Plains, Gerber was the lead prosecutor in numerous murder, violence, and narcotics investigations and has prosecuted hundreds of defendants. AUSA Gerber has focused hard on investigating and prosecuting drug-related murders. He was one of the lead prosecutors in the case against Jeffrey Herring. Herring carried out a home invasion murder and robbery in Swan Lake, New York. The killing took place right in front of the victim's 8-year-old son. Herring was convicted and faces life in prison. AUSA Gerber also led the prosecution of drug dealer Anthony Greco. Greco brutally stabbed to death one of his drug customers in Ossining. Greco was also convicted and sentenced to life in prison. During his career, Gerber has also prosecuted numerous drug dealers responsible for the heroin, fentanyl, and other drug overdose deaths across the city. And he has been involved in helping many large-scale takedowns and helped free communities from drug crews terrorizing our streets. While some of the cases upstate are not the bright lights of New York, they have made a huge difference to the people living in Orange County, Sullivan County, and across the Hudson Valley. And there are, of course, the successes here in the city. Overdose deaths, for example, he started an initiative with the NYPD, which has led to prosecutions of those dealing the drugs that result in overdose deaths here in the city. In his current position as co-chief, Gerber supervises 28 USAs, prosecuting hundreds of defendants in cases involving murder, racketeering, robbery, as well as drug dealing. Assistant U.S. Attorney Gerber is truly a deserving recipient of tonight's award. Congratulations. United States Marshal Service, Eastern District of New York, Deputy U.S. Marshal Ryan Westfield. Deputy Marshal Westfield is the Foundation's next recipient. In July 2014, Fuquan Wilson fired 14 shots, killing two people as they entered an apartment in Maine, which Wilson was using as his base of operations. The drug dealers entered the apartment intending to rob Wilson of his drugs and cash. Wilson was no stranger to law enforcement. He had extensive past drug-related arrests in New York, including dealing drugs on school grounds. Shortly after the murders in Maine, authorities identified Wilson as the prime suspect and developed information that he was here in New York. An investigative lead was sent from Maine to the U.S. Marshals Fugitive Task Force, and Deputy Ryan Westfield took over the search along with his colleagues. And in February of last year, members of the Fugitive Task Force located Wilson in the Belmont section of the Bronx. Wilson barricaded himself in an associate's apartment and forced investigators to breach the door. Wilson was later found hiding in that residence along with his girlfriend and her young son. He was taken into custody without anyone getting hurt. Wilson was arraigned as a fugitive from justice and extradited to Maine in March of this year. Wilson pleaded guilty to 2 counts of manslaughter and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Congratulations to Deputy Westfield and his son. We next have a video, Lifetime Achievement Award, Chief of Detectives, Bob Boyce. First we'll play the video, and then we'll call him up to say a few words. Video, please.
Bob Boyce is one of the best chief of detectives this department's ever seen. His experience, his ability to communicate, his ability to understand the mission, and his ability to get the job done.
I think anyone who knows him would tell you that Bob has integrity. He's a worker. He certainly loves the job, and he's about business. He's about getting the job done.
Bob Boyce, I think, undoubtedly will go down in the history books as probably the greatest chief of detectives in the department's history. I firmly agree with that.
Robert Boyce grew up in Long Island and joined the NYPD in 1983. He met the woman who would become his wife, Kathleen, as a fellow recruit while in the academy. After graduation, he made his name in a number of investigative positions. 2-4 Snoop, 4-0 anti-crime sergeant, and IAB before taking charge of the 7-9 precinct squad. He later headed the E-8 squad, the gang division, and the Bronx and Manhattan detective bureaus before becoming chief of detectives in early 2014.
I remember interviewing him at the bar at Deary's restaurant. So I know I've introduced with him all the time. I had been away from the bar for many years. We didn't know many people who had grown up during the time of Bond since 1996. And John suggested this guy, Bob Boyce, that was someone I talked to.
Since taking the reins of 3,000 investigators, Robert Boyce has been instrumental in the department's key initiatives. Unified investigations bring most detective functions under the Bureau, and precision policing focuses resources on the most serious offenders.
The thing that Bob is engaged in now, precision policing, has made the biggest impact that any crime-fighting initiative has made in New York City in the last 25 years.
Robert Boyce has summed up his approach to the Bureau, Fortius quo fidelius, or strength, which has become an unofficial motto of the Bureau.
He is nothing if he's not loyal to and committed to the city and to the job. He is this sort of quiet but steady professional who goes about his work very methodically, who expects his subordinates to perform and inspires them to perform at their very best.
As chief of the country's largest municipal detective squad, Robert Boyce has many duties. He attends briefings, follows up on major cases, helps to lead CompStat meetings, and oversees commands across all 5 boroughs. But it is representing the department to the public where he is set to shine.
His ability to deliver at our press briefings all the time, every time, clear, concise, complete information, ongoing investigations, in a way that, you know, the press loves him. He's honest, gives him what he can, when he can.
Bob really stood up at physical campus. Tall, handsome. He looks like a New York cop. He's got that quiet, kind of rough voice, New York accent. He's become quite a star in his own right.
But like the detectives he leads, Robert Boyce remains focused on keeping crime in New York City at a record low.
I mean, our mission is simple. That's to keep the people of the city safe. And he stays on that. He understands that. His people understand that. I think that's why the city's in such great shape in 2017. Having all these great jobs, and so
this board here was at the FDIF, it's very, very important to me. It's really nice to come together. These great men and women come up here and risk their lives every day and give up so much part of their life. So Commissioner O'Neill's touched on precision policing. Precision policing is the way we do that, and in the neighborhood coordination officer is the way we're taking the city forward. Precision policing means we get together with all our federal partners. And I think I've opened about 12 task forces in my time. And I think I may have a few more. I'll maybe put one here. And we're going to keep doing that because that's the way we reduce crime as we go forward. And this past week, one of the worst we've had in New York City in quite some time. And I remember working there, seeing the FBI there, and other federal agencies. And no egos, no side, your side, no nothing like that. We just got together about the job. And was able to investigate that crime and others. 23rd Street bombing, with Mr. Rahimi, who we identified 24 hours and locked him up in another 48 hours. Tremendous work. Can't do without your partners, without your code. So all those great units, the DEA, the ATF, the FBI, the troopers, the Marshal Service, HSI, we're all together in one common cause. I'm proud of you, NYPD, for 35 years. There's nothing better I can think of. I could have done a lot. Could have done a couple things. I was a bouncer at the time. And I remember Police Officer Ryan Nash on last Tuesday, and you see yourself in way he just moved towards that park. Byers put himself at a substantial risk. Very proud of that. And he's a mess, by the way. He's overcome with all those things. So I remember him, and I remember there's always something, there's always points in your career when you have the answer to that call and put your safety behind you and move forward. So it's not lost on me what we do. So this precision policing, we're in the midst, and we have another problem. It's all about survival. It's 4 times the homicide. We have lost 1,350 people last year. We have 345 homicides. Something's wrong. And we move forward with that. We move forward with drug investigations, bringing kilos and kilos of heroin, cocaine, fentanyl. We're under attack right now. Under attack right now. So our federal partnerships have never been more important than they are now. Terrorism, drug epidemic, all these things. So in my life, I've been very fortunate to have a beautiful wife. Not exhausted, and she's there. I have a great family. My son Bob's here tonight. My daughter Cook. Caitlin, I think, is going to do Disney World tomorrow. So this has been a great run. I got about 5 months to go. My uniform, and I savor every second. That's what I'm saying, right to the last. I'm only one of those guys because I enjoy so much. There's a lot of young agents and cops in there. Remember where you are in your life. Everything is fleet. Remember how good it is right now. It's not the best for you. So I thank you, and I thank this organization. It's a great night, great people. And I couldn't think of a better way to get it done. So thank you very much, and God bless.
ATF, Sean Martinek is our next honoree. Senior Special Agent Martinek is assigned to the Rochester ATF Violent Crime Task Force, which partners with the Rochester Police Department and other law enforcement organizations. The goal to stop gang violence and drug dealing in the greater Rochester area. In June 2014, Agent Martinek received information from a confidential informant concerning a wave of home invasion robberies. The tip, the crew of individuals, is led by Matthew Nix. Agents were soon able to identify 14 home invasions committed by members of that crew over a two-year period. On October 7, 2014, another home invasion, this time of a jeweler who was conducting business from his home. After he was violently pistol-whipped, the jeweler, and in front of his wife, they stole $200,000 worth of high-end watches and diamonds. A week later, they got a key break. One gang member was attempting to pawn a Rolex watch stolen from the jeweler's home. They busted that member, and soon over the course of a month, agents arrested other gang members. And soon they scouted the ringleader, Nix, and made 10 controlled purchases of heroin directly from him. Agents then executed 3 search warrants in 2015, recovering heroin and cocaine, and they arrested Nix during the execution of those warrants. Nix and his associates were convicted, And when they're sentenced, coming up this fall, they face up to life in prison. Congratulations, Senior Special Agent Martin. Foundation's next True American Hero Award winners include a team of prosecutors and investigators who spent 5 years dismantling the Roosevelt, New York-based Roman 60s Crips, a violent subset of the larger nationwide Crips gang. From 2003 to 2013, the Roman 60s was a diverse criminal enterprise that made money through drug sales, armed robberies, illegal trafficking of firearms from Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, up here to New York. The Roman 60s controlled the streets of Roosevelt through violence. They assaulted, shot, or killed anyone who opposed or disrespected them, committing over 60 shootings, and they are believed behind at least 4 murders. The investigation began in 2011 after a member of the Roman 60s shot a Hempstead cop. To crack down on the gang, the effort began with the FBI and Nassau County Police Department using confidential informants to purchase guns from numerous gang members, including the gang's leader. In October 2012, however, Roland 60s learned that that informant was cooperating and they set a plan in motion to kill him. The leader of the gang enlisted a 19-year-old member to carry out the murder. The young member walked up to the informant on a residential street in Hempstead and shot him in the back 5 times, causing the informant to be paralyzed. From April 2013, the crackdown continued. 20 members and associates busted and prosecuted. Raphael Osborne, the leader and founder of the gang, among them. He was convicted of ordering the murder of the informant, as well as charges of witness tampering, robbery, conspiring to murder rival gang members, among other counts. Osborne was sentenced to 3 consecutive life terms, plus 135 years. The team also successfully prosecuted Eric Smith, the gang's top shooter. Smith had terrorized the residents of Roosevelt as responsible for more than 7 shootings, 6 robberies, drug trafficking, and the murder of a 19-year-old rival gang member whose mistake was disrespecting Roland 60s on Twitter and Facebook. Additionally, the prosecution team charged Derek Hernandez, one of Roland 60's top lieutenants, with 4 shootings, 5 robberies, and narcotics trafficking. Hernandez pleaded guilty, including to his role in the 2012 attempted murder of that federal informant. Rudy Montour, who competed for the title of the gang's top shooter, pleaded guilty to the 2010 murder of Jason Crafton. Crafton had no gang affiliation and was simply at a party and got into a dispute with gang members, and the gang members later tracked him down and killed him. Montour is still awaiting sentencing when he's convicted. In total, the team here, 20 members and associates convicted. The investigation and prosecution featured extensive cooperation between federal, state, and local agencies, and has made a huge difference in helping to keep that community safe. Thank you for your help and service. Just a couple more, and our next presentment is to Ashon Benedict, Lifetime Achievement Award, Special Agent in Charge of the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. We'll play a video, and then we'll invite him up to say a few words.
Ashon Benedict is a New York City native who grew up in the Bronx and Yonkers. He began his law enforcement career in 1995 as a special agent with the U.S. Treasury Department's IRS Criminal Investigation Division, stationed in Southern California and New York City field offices. He began his ATF career in 1998 as a special agent assigned to the ATF's High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Task Force in Washington, D.C. As a street agent, he investigated armed drug trafficking groups, armed robberies of commercial businesses, armed carjacking, gang-related racketeering murder, and firearms trafficking offenses. He has also served as a tactical operator on ATF Special Response Team assigned to the teams in Los Angeles, California, and Washington, D.C. In 2005, Ashan served as a special agent in charge of the Technical Operations Branch, Special Operations Division, overseeing the Bureau's covert surveillance equipment programs, including a multi-million dollar budget. From 2007 through 2011, he served as resident agent in charge in the Washington Field Division. From 2011 to 2013, Ashan served as assistant special agent in charge of the Baltimore Field Division. From 2013 through 2015, he served at ATF headquarters as chief of the Intergovernmental Affairs Division, Office of Public and Governmental Affairs, and chief of the Inspection Branch, Office of Professional Responsibility and Security Operations. In 2015, Ashan served as an assistant special agent in charge in the Los Angeles Field Division. In October 2016, Ashan was selected as the special agent in charge of the New York Field Division of the ATF. Ashan was involved in ATF's response and investigation of several notable events and incidents, including the September 11, 2001 terrorist attack on the Pentagon, the Beltway Sniper investigation, ATF support to Hurricane Katrina, the Washington, D.C. Navy Yard active shooter, and the San Bernardino, California mass shooting terrorist attack in December 2015. Ashan holds a Bachelor of Science in Accounting from Fordham University and is also a graduate of the Asian American Government Executive Network Senior Executive Service Development Program. Ashan and his wife, ATF Special Agent Catherine Benedict, have three children.
Hi, my name is Zach Terwilliger. I'm an Associate Deputy Attorney General here in Washington, and I just wanted to congratulate Ashan Benedict on his True American Hero Award. I've known Ashan for almost a decade. We go back to when I was in line at USA, and he was a group supervisor here in Washington. He's always picked up the phone, he's always taken my calls, he's always gone the extra mile. He's deserving of this award, and I wish him congratulations.
Good evening, everyone. Obviously, we're all here tonight to celebrate the wonderful accomplishments of Ashan Benedict through this Lifetime Achievement Award. You're going to hear a lot of great stories about Ashan in regard to his professional accomplishments and such. Being a Yonkers guy myself and growing up with Ashan, I can kind of fill in the blanks for him growing up. So I just wanted to share a few pictures and a few stories with you in regard. Here's Ashan in Christ the King basketball team. With all the kids here, it may be very difficult for you to see who he is, so I can point them out to you. He's top left right here. Then we move on to his time in high school, and we have Ashan here, graduate, no promote. And then that brings us to the present time in our relationship. So Ashan and I ended up meeting each other at a bachelor party. We spent the evening together enjoying the bachelor party, enjoying the future groom. And from there, we ended up building cases and working together till today. And we always like to look back and we like to say that, you know, the relationship endured, where unfortunately I can't say the same for the marriage. Even him.
Now, when my friends in the back of the room give us about 5 more minutes of quiet and respect, and then we'll go back to eating and drinking. Thank you.
That's the first time I've seen that video. My friend's house, so future careers ahead of me. Thanks to Dennis and the FDAF for the privilege of being here tonight. It's a true honor. The work the FDAF does with our law enforcement duties is truly phenomenal. I do want to thank my wife, Kate, my partner in life, the one that keeps the home fires burning and raising our three kids. And we did a tour of America, ATF's tour of America. She really helped me be where I am today, career-wise. My mom and my sister, Chitra and Rookie, thanks for all your support. I appreciate it. We're the Yonkers boys. Lifelong friends, thank you for being here. I appreciate it. I'd be remiss if I wasn't talking about my father a little bit and share a story with you. My first introduction to leadership was about 8 years old, and my family just moved from the Bronx to Yonkers, and we're having dinner at a diner on Central Avenue. And there's four of us, and this guy walks up, well dressed, professional. He goes, "Mr. Benedict." My dad, Edward, turns around. He goes, "How you doing?" He goes, "You taught me senior year at Fordham. You really changed my life." And they started reacquainting with each other. We're sitting there. My sister, Rookie's a year younger than me, and we're looking and listening to this conversation. He's talking about accountability. He's talking about perseverance. He's talking about my father working with difficult students at Fordham. And they finished the conversations. I'll never forget him. He walks away. And my sister and I are looking at each other like, what was that about? My father is a guy that, took us to baseball games, took us to basketball games, drove us to the movies, was telling jokes at home, goofing around all the time. Like, who is this guy? He was changing lives. And I really got to know him after that. I never looked at him the same way again, but he was a leader. He didn't have a large span of control, but he was a leader. He made an impression on people. Leadership is a lot of different things. Leadership is letting people that work under you grow and develop. And ATF Assistant Director Rich Marianos, thank you for that. I was his first line supervisor for 6.5 years, and Richie's like, "What are you doing? Move up." He really pushed me along. Leadership requires a personal touch. Now, if you look around this room tonight, right, you see Commissioner O'Neill, you see these federal agency heads, these other leaders in this room, the fellow recipients, Bob Boyce, George Beach, Angel Melendez. They all have one thing in common. They have leadership with a personal touch. That's something to be commended. It's something I always hope to emulate moving forward. When Dennis invited me out one night, probably 8 or 9 months ago, and he said, "Hey, Sean, we want to give you this award." And I just stared at him. And I'm like, thinking to myself, there's got to be somebody else that has a bigger job, bigger span than I do, maybe a little longer in the tooth than I do, And if you know Dennis, those of you who know Dennis very well, he's pretty even as she goes. But he got fired up. And he's looking at me across the table. He goes, "You know what? I've been working with ATF for a long time. And you guys are all the same. You work hard. You don't have a number of agents. There's politics involved and all this stuff. But you put in the hours. You work with the cops, you work with the other agencies, you make arrests, and you never look for any credit. Because I'm going to make this easy for you. I'm not asking anyone. You're going to get this award, and you're going to do it on behalf of the men and women of ATF." I said, "You know what? Thinking to myself, you're right." So, Dennis, thank you. I am accepting this award on behalf of the men and women of ATF. They deserve it. They deserve the recognition. In closing, I definitely have more years ahead of me and I want to do great things, but this is probably the greatest job I will ever have. I get to do this job in the great state of New York, in the greatest city in the world, with the greatest professionals in law enforcement. Thank you very much.
Two important awards left. Office of Special Narcotics Prosecutor, William Cook, Chief Investigator, and present and past members of the SMP Investigations Unit. The next presentation of the True American Hero Award is a special one. The Federal Drug Agents Foundation would like to take this opportunity to honor the entire office of the New York City Special Narcotics Prosecutors Investigators Unit, which celebrates its 25th anniversary. The Special Narcotics Prosecutors Investigators Unit is at the heart of a citywide effort to reduce the supply of narcotic drugs, addictive pills, heroin, and fentanyl have killed a record number of New Yorkers across the past year in every borough, every age group, and every demographic. Can we please keep it down for just two more minutes? Two more awards left, please, folks. Thank you. It's a mission of the investigators you see gathered here in front of us to stop and dismantle the drug networks that are spreading death and tragedy throughout our city. Celebrating its 25th anniversary this year, the unit handles cases targeting local, national, and international trafficking groups, as well as related crimes, under the leadership of Chief Investigator Cook. He's headed the team since its inception. As drug trends change, the unit has developed expertise in identifying and dismantling major heroin and fentanyl networks, hillbill doctors, and prescription drug diversion rings. Senior members of the unit are law enforcement veterans who served with the NYPD Narcotics Division and the DEA task forces. Strong partnerships are essential to success. Over the past 25 years, noteworthy cases include record seizure of 2,100 kilos of cocaine worth over $55 million inside a railway tanker car in Queens, the prosecution of a New Rochelle police officer for murder, the arrest and conviction of a longtime fugitive for torturing and killing an innocent man in 1999. In that case, the 34-year-old victim was gunned down in his Manhattan home in front of his wife and father-in-law, all because his cousin had stolen from a drug trafficking group. The ringleader was tracked to North Carolina 15 years later and sentenced to 25 years to life. In 2015, SMP investigators and the DEA's Group T31 conducted a wiretap investigation that led to the largest seizure of heroin ever by the DEA New York Division, 70 kilos and $2 million in cash recovered from the Fieldston section of the Bronx. Increasingly, investigators like these are finding fentanyl in a combination of heroin or by itself in multi-kilo shipments. 50 times stronger than heroin, fentanyl has driven up the city's overdose rate by 46%. Earlier this summer, SMP investigators conducted an undercover operation that led to the recovery of 18 kilos of fentanyl at the Umbrella Hotel in the Bronx, a record at that time that has since been eclipsed. This team of investigators are dedicated and tenacious and have saved countless lives in the New York area for the past 25 years. Thank you for your service. Congratulations. And, we can just have quiet for our last award, please. Our last award is going to U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Five U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers are the next recipients. And as we just heard, fentanyl has become the most frequently seized synthetic opioid, as well at JFK Airport this year. The hard work and dedication of CBP officers assigned to JFK, who we're honoring tonight, they're instrumental in combating the dangerous influx of fentanyl plaguing our region, our country. The JFK Airport mail facility is the largest mail facility in the US. It processes over a million parcels daily, 60% of all international mail arriving in the US. CBP officers are responsible for screening hundreds of millions of pieces of mail for the dangerous drug fentanyl, as well as other illegal contraband. From October 16 to August 2017, the team you see standing here has made 60 interceptions of fentanyl and 135 other interceptions of narcotics, totaling nearly 1,000 pounds of drugs taken off the streets thanks to their work. In recognition of their exemplary service, dedication, and performance, the New York Field Office has proudly nominated U.S. and Customs Border Protection Officers David Schlesinger, Muriel Lodgo, Thomas Pagano, Mahesh Prasad, and Bertson Campisi for the Federal Drug Agents Foundation True American Hero Award. Congratulations to all of you. Congratulations again. I just want to thank everybody. I just want to thank you for having me. It's an honor to put this with you every year. I appreciate it. And Dennis, thank you.
Hey, what's your name? I have some staff, Pat. I want you to have a moment with them. Thank you again. Just a couple more things. The bars and the food service are reopened. I have one request to make, and that is if any of you in the law enforcement community have relationships with anybody in the business community or the professions that comes to you and asks if they have the ability to support you, please refer them to us. We're always looking for good, qualified people to join our board of directors. With that, have a great time for the rest of the night. Enjoy yourself, and we'll see you next year.
Thank you.